Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, and pop culture. I'm your host this week, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Sorry, I've done this so many times, I suddenly wasn't sure. Anyway, this week, we're talking about Too Many Cooks, unedited footage of a bear, and this house has people in it. Three pieces of media that all ask the same question. What if something perfectly normal continued for just a little bit too long? Speaking of which, hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, and pop culture. I'm your host this week, Brian. Joining me, as always, Ryan.
Hi.
Good. Kyle.
Hi.
Excellent. And Sean.
Hi, Brian.
Perfect. And of course, no, never mind. That's everyone. I just wanted to make sure that we're all still here. And now, before we get started, anyone notice anything off? No? Okay, never mind. We'll continue. Hey, have you guys seen any of these shows before? These little shorts?
Legit speaking, I was lucky enough. I caught Too Many Cooks the first time live. I was up at 4 a.m. watching Adult Swim. Jealous. And very confused, like Sean was, until about 2:50, when like you kind of start to get it. But that's, it was incredible. A wild time. The other two I did not, but I heard about them after they had come out, and people, and I was like, oh, this is another thing like that. So I immediately checked them out.
Ryan.
Cool, I'm not far off from Kyle. I did not catch Too Many Cooks live. I caught it, I think, the week it came out, because it was something immediately everybody was like, you gotta see this. And like, hearing nothing about it, just how much talk it was getting, I was like, yep, gotta see it. So I caught it, really enjoyed it. But it was this house has people in it that really hooked me. And I think I've mentioned this maybe in our ARG episode. This one has a backstory to it and like a whole universe. And it's this one,
which I did not know.
My brain. The other one I did not see. I thought I had seen it until this episode. One, the middle one, I forget its name.
Unedited footage
of a bear.
I should have known. That one's new to me.
All right. I'm kind of in the same boat where Too Many Cooks came out, did not catch it live, but everybody was talking about it so much that week that I was like, all right, I gotta check this out. Watched it and I was like, that's phenomenal. And then didn't really hear about the other two until recently. And I was like, I'm going to save them and I'm going to do them for an episode. So here we are. Sean.
Yo.
This is all new to you, isn't it?
Yeah. What the fuck, man? Legit. Like, I sent to you guys 3 seconds after it happened, but at 2:49 into the first one, Too Many Cooks, I was like, wait, did Brian send me the wrong thing? I got it off the rip. I'll let you get into it.
Well, I just wanted to say, I'm glad now to know, because I was going to ask first, Brian, but knowing now that you haven't seen the second two, because watching them again this time, I was like, these are horror. This is way outside of Brian's wheelhouse. Why is he bringing this to the table?
Yeah.
Now I get it. Okay. Yeah. You had no fucking clue.
No, I knew Too Many Cooks and I was like, I like Too Many Cooks. That's funny. Yeah. These other ones weren't as humorous, but I still enjoyed them because I like when shit gets a little bit weird.
I mean, even in the first one, I had the same thought that Kyle had. I was like, wow, Brian's bringing some horror. Like, there's more gore in this than the last 10 shows that we've done put together.
That's true.
I was super shocked by the end of it that you had brought this.
But I think it has something to do with me and Dave doing the B-Movie Boys. It's kind of desensitized me to the horror genre a little bit. Just because so many B-movies are in the horror genre, and they just it gets to a point where you're like, okay, none of this is actually scary. Not that I was like the thing I didn't like about it was it wasn't like I was like, oh no, it's gonna scare me. But like, you know.
Yeah. It's just nerd.
Not my cup of tea, but it's slowly becoming nerd. More my cup of tea.
Good.
Like Ryan, I'm a little jealous that Kyle was able to see Too Many Cooks like in its natural wild. In its intended format. Because like, after watching these, I looked them all up just to see if there's anything that I had missed or anything. And one of the most fascinating things for me was like going into this, I didn't realize that this was made to come out at 4 a.m. during like the infomercial block on Adult Swim. And the thought that went into that to be like, okay, let's make this because this is where it's going to be. And if anybody is stoned or they're drunk and they're just like, they're in that state where they're just hanging out and they might not be paying attention to the TV, after about 3 or 4 minutes, they're just going to be, wait, what is going on?
Did I miss something?
And that is such a cool concept.
Hello, friends.
To have brought to the table.
That's what I love. Like the 14th or 15th. Of the infomercials they had done, right? Was Too Many Cooks. Like, it wasn't one of the first ones. Like, there are, I think at this point, probably about 20 of these 10 to 15 minute Adult Swim kind of skit things they do.
I think Too Many Cooks was the first one.
Was it? I thought it was something like Broom Shakala or something that leaned more into like the actual infomercial. I thought Too Many Cooks was more towards like the middle. That's why I was just, it's interesting because I do think this is the one that got everybody tuned into it. Like, these were not really well known before Too Many Cooks. And that's why I thought it came later. But I could be wrong. I did not research super well ahead of time. Shame on me.
I'm pretty up on my Adult Swim knowledge because I've always been a huge Adult Swim. That's why I caught this at 4 a.m. because once like 10 o'clock hit, it was pretty much on Cartoon Network from that point on. Mm-hmm. I'd flip back and forth between that and Comedy Central because they would also have good shit going. But
yeah, I feel like this era of like the mid-20 teens, just the TV would automatically be on Adult Swim this time of night. Mm-hmm. Because that's like after a certain point, that's the only thing that's really on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, it was the perfect just like, even if you weren't paying attention to the TV, it was still on in the background. And it's just the perfect way to set these things up. And it was really kind of inspired on the part of Adult Swim.
It's super, you know, to make it sound maybe cheesy. It's a fucking great piece of performance art, especially like when it was happening. Dude, I cannot tell, like when the song just keeps going, I'm like, all right, we're doing something here. And immediately it wasn't like the description Sean said where it was in the background and you don't really pay. Like, I immediately was clocked in and I was like, what is happening here? This is something. And I remember going like after it happened, like it ended, like going online and there was already like, of course, message boards, but like, what did anybody else see this? What is happening? It was a cool, almost ARG style thing happening after that first one.
The hive mind of confused stoners.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. Trying to figure out, solve a fucking mystery, which Reddit's always been really great at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here.
But no,
the show about getting older.
The show. I love this. You're goddamn it, Brian.
Yeah, I guess we just go right into Too Many Cooks and we'll just start by talking about that. Directed by Casper Kelly, who is a Adult Swim writer for a lot of his career. But he actually does have a movie coming out this year called Buddy that I'm actually very excited about. It comes out at the end of this month and it has Keegan-Michael Key and Chris DiMigliotti, Tover Grace, Michael Shannon, Patton Oswalt, Clint Howard. And it is kind of in the style of Too Many Cooks. It is called Buddy and it's a slasher film about a group of children trapped inside a 1990s style children's television show. And they have to try to escape when their giant bright orange unicorn host turns brutal
Okay.
And a malevolent nightmare.
I'm 100% in on this.
So, yeah, I'm so in.
That definitely sounded really good.
He's also, he wrote the, I didn't see Mandy, but I'm very familiar with the Cheddar Goblin bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
He wrote
Sean
that.
Sean and I covered Mandy. We both love that.
Yeah.
That movie's also, this guy cut his teeth on Coast to Coast, right? Yes. Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
I think so, pretty yeah. Sure.
Which also just top tier Adult Swim show. It's what kicked off the whole brand. So without this guy,
I didn't know that.
We wouldn't be discussing Too Many Cooks now. So
right. Too Many Cooks, what starts as an absurdly overlong sitcom opening credits sequence gradually spirals into a surreal nightmare as the cast list grows more ridiculous and the genres begin to shift, the familiar comfort of cheesy TV intros gives way to something incredibly sinister, all while a mysterious figure lurks in the background. That's your little synopsis for your
boys,
for this 11-minute short.
Boys, it doesn't even just go on and on. It loops. It, like, this is why I thought that you had sent me the wrong one. I thought it was like the best of intros that you accidentally sent me for this too ridiculous show. Because after at about 2 minutes and 49 seconds, it is looped through the opening credits like four times in four different genres. Like, it's just recapping the same people in different roles or situations.
I love that part too.
And oh my God, the way that they did this in everywhere from like a mid to late 70s style opening all the way to like Full House. Mm-hmm. Like, it covered so many years of sitcom opening.
It goes into animation.
Yeah.
Dude, it's sick.
This was awesome. This was awesome.
You can tell it
was like a minute later that I'm like, nope, he sent me the right one.
Which, as another dude that I love sitcoms, especially from like this era that it's parroting, I think that's why I popped so hard when I saw it at first, because I was like, is this a show I don't know about? And then it was more like, oh, they're aping this, but I love this. And you could tell that they love that too. It hits a lot of like shot for shot, like a lot of those openings Sean mentioned. I stopped writing them down, but I did write down a bunch. I wrote down the ones I picked up with Married with Children, Step by Step, Roseanne. Mm-hmm. They went to G.I. Joe. There was also a Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch is so good.
The cop genre out of nowhere. Like, we're not even sitcom.
It's
a crime scene.
The space and the miniature scale spaceship and everything. Like,
COOKS Cooks.
I thought the crime one, it was going to pop up with something saying like directed by Richard Coyote or something like that. And if you know, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would have been good. Yeah, it's Alf.
Yeah, because you have Smarf. Is that the cat's name?
Smarf.
Smarf. Who also, God, maybe has the best bit in this when he's all fucking bloodied and he makes the long crawl to the button that I don't know what it does.
Who knows what the button does? We'll never know what the button does.
You know what this was?
It ends it.
But it doesn't, because then he turns into the robot. And then we get COOKS in space.
Maybe that's what the button does.
Because his face melts off. You're
probably right, yeah.
Movies, TV, games, music, TV, games, movies, and pop culture.
I love the just the surrealism of it. It's also, this one more than the others. Well, the second one too. Very Tim and Eric vibes. Especially if you've ever watched their other show, Bedtime Stories.
They did
the horror bits.
Yep.
But I love how fucking surreal this gets. And how instantly it becomes self-referential. Like the topless girl that is later still topless leading the other family.
Yeah. In like Pictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when the one girl's running and everybody still has their credits on them. That's such a great
That's my
bit.
Favorite part is when it completely breaks away from the setting of being a intro theme song and like you can hear the song off in the distance and you have this girl running and the credit is just following her on her person. She hides in the closet and he can see the light
and
from
you can still
the,
see it?
The caption. It's, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, that being what snitched her out was so funny.
It might be
and then
dumb.
When like the doctor caught it.
Mm-hmm. I love when it goes so far that the credits are the people and then the people playing them show up as the credit, but it causes them so much pain that they just scream. That's my favorite bit.
That's pretty great. It's so good. Yep. It's like that cosmic
they just
horror.
Show that they're just like, ah! God. This shit is so good, man. Like, it's so, it's art. It's
this show.
It's crazy. It's so hard to explain. And I feel like you have to have been from this era specifically to really get and appreciate it. I don't know if this would hit with like Gen Z. Although they do love the retrowave stuff. Backrooms has like sort of inspired a retrowave resurgence. And D-makes too are a huge thing I'm learning. Like PS1 D-makes of popular games are very popular.
Yeah.
People love that PS1 era aesthetic. Like the wavy sort of texture style.
That's just something that is cycling through, right? We're just now, we're getting to the point where people love the PS1 look. Whereas 5 years ago, people were all about the SNES look and whether or not that was due to just what was the cheapest thing to make.
I think that's at the part time. Too, like things just being cyclical, especially fads.
But man, everybody had a fucking boner for 16-bit. For a minute.
A long time.
Oh, yeah. Still. But I think, as a younger generation ages into purchasing power, the nostalgia goes far, a little bit farther forward. So now it's the low poly PS1 N64 aesthetic.
Yeah. To the point of like, does the younger generation appreciate something like this? I think they do. And I don't think this has as much to do with nostalgia. Like, I think the nostalgia
is there.
You think
I just appreciate it more because I'm from that era?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I think they will appreciate kind of like the nihilistic nature of it. Sure. And just kind of how weird and not like kind of right it is. Because, Brian pointed out Backrooms and Obsession. Like, these kids are tapped into like good, smart horror that's doing things and twisting things just a little off. So I'm giving them credit. I'm giving them full credit. I think the nostalgia just like bumps it up even more if you like get the references and the Easter eggs they drop in.
Yeah. It was great. One of the things I could really bond with my niece with when she was here, she's 17, was our love of Obsession, which my sister hated. And we kept making fun of her about because she just didn't get it. And we're like, you're just dumb. But digress.
I have not seen it yet.
It's a good movie.
You should watch
it. It's still not my wheelhouse. But
Andy Richter's best movie yet. I'll die on that hill.
Wow. High praise.
What so Andy Richter controls the universe, but it's pretty good.
Is that
I
an
love
actual
Andy
movie?
Andy Richter and all of his brothers.
No, that's his. That was his short-lived TV sitcom he had.
Oh.
It's the first thing he did after. Well, not the first thing. It was his first big thing after he left Conan, though.
Don't remember it.
Didn't he plays long. Quintuplets on Arrested Development. Is that it?
Uh-huh.
I think there's five of them.
Yep.
There's the one that never shows his face.
I also... right, he's censored. But they composite what he would look like based on Andy Richter's face.
It's such a good bit.
I also like in the Too Many Cooks bit where the theme song ends and they start an episode, but it only lasts 6 seconds before they get the end credits.
But are so fast. Complete opposite of the opening credits, too. What do you guys feel about the creep guy? Did you notice him before he becomes super obvious? Because he's there from the start, almost. I think he's in, like, the third intro, just very far in the back.
I didn't see him at all.
Yeah.
And when I did see that he's kind of in the background from the beginning, I was so tempted to go back and watch. I just didn't have time, but I wanted to so badly.
I really like the
director,
way that he portrays
the director. Said he has backstory. The killer, who's played by William Tokarski, is a failed actor who wants to play the father in a sitcom, but was never cast, so he inserts himself in the Too Many Cooks show and starts to kill everyone.
Huh.
That's not as exciting as what I had built up in my head, because of the fact that, like, every time he's on screen, his name is scrambled, and the fact that he's infiltrating the show, I almost had him more as, like, a cosmic being that comes in and is, like, almost out of space and time, and that's why he's not accurately captured. I like my version better, to be honest.
I do, too.
I took that as it was scrambled because they didn't want to give his name as the person that's he's killing
redacted.
People. Yeah, exactly.
It was like a Beatrix redacted. Kiddo in Kill Bill.
Mm.
They're hiding it intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. He has way more of a vibe, like, looking at him. Listeners, if you haven't watched this, you probably should. It's on YouTube. It's 11 minutes long.
All three of them are about 11 minutes.
Yeah, you can bang through all of these in about a half an hour, a little more than half an hour with credits. So go do it.
All free.
Fuck, I don't remember what I was going to say. What was I saying?
All free.
Sorry.
I don't know.
The killer. I don't know. Or what he looks like.
Yeah, we're talking about the killer.
Oh, yeah. He looks like... You would turn the corner and he's way less likely to be dadding somebody and way more likely to just have his finger in his belly button. Like, that is what this guy looks like.
He totally has the creep vibes nailed, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely more stabby than he is daddy.
Yeah.
There's one other bit I really like in this that, again, is very surreal horror, but, like, when he starts killing people... I think it's like the detective that's solving the scene, and then he, like, is just right there, and they cut to him, and he's got the machete in his head, and he's just screaming in pain, and it's like one of those quick cuts, and then they cut away. Another just great, great horror here, and maybe not always, but it's been a more common talking point lately about, like, comedians and horror and, like, them mixing a lot more. And I mean, when it is good, it's done very well. Like, this is very surreal and creepy. Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories, which, spoiler alert, might be coming up soon, fellas. Also, just very... The way that a comedian knows to get to your base emotions, I feel, and humor and horror are both, like, on that same level, so... I don't know. A lot of them know how to tap into that. And skirt... They flow back and forth so easily.
I think go ahead, Sean.
I think it's also, I mean, there's never, at least until recently, there wasn't never any super high expectations of anything coming from horror, much along the same lines of comedy. Like, there's, until recently, like, it, very formulaic, and, you know, not a ton of thought put into it. It's especially in the horror end of things, you know, it's very cut and paste. And recently we've just had a lot of people being given the tools to be able to actually bring to life these fantastic ideas. And whether it be stations or studios or whatever, either believing it or seeing that somebody's proved themselves somewhere else or whatever, but giving it a shot. And you know, I'm hyped to see that, because that shit doesn't happen unless it's bringing people in and getting people talking. So I'm glad that a change happened and a surprise hit somewhere was made. But even then, this is so smart, and it came out in like 2011. That feels still that's almost,
and it's still
a long time ago.
It's very cult status. Like,
yeah.
It's very in the know, but not in the know. Like, I would almost guarantee, like, maybe one of my coworkers knows what Too Many Cooks is. You know? Like, Sean had never even heard of it.
It's funny
because,
like...
not to sell Sean out. It's just... It's not
I haven't
even
heard
known.
Of anything.
Yeah.
But it got a lot of attention. Like, Penn Jillette, Simon Pegg, Zach Braff, Richard Kelly were all tweeting about Too Many Cooks, like, the week it happened.
Wow.
It got a lot of attention. Ryan Johnson said that, he said, no joke, Too Many Cooks should have been nominated for an Academy Award for Best Live Action Short Film, even though it wasn't eligible because it didn't have a cinematic release.
Wow.
Oh.
Damn. He's right.
Yeah. We know how Kyle feels about Ryan Johnson, though.
I like him, just not The Last Jedi.
Yeah, see, look at him. That's exactly a sophisticated response.
Yeah.
I think going back to the way...
How can you hate Knives Out?
Yeah, or Knives Out. Benoit Blanc thing. Those rules.
That's true. That's true.
Brick? Or no, Elephant?
What?
It's Brick.
Lamp?
Is it Brick?
Okay. It's not Elephant. It's Brick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not that Brick, no. Not Love Lamp Brick. Sorry, I've derailed this. Keep going, please.
Afternoon delight.
The family's fears are justified. Witches and the devil are real. After the family turns on her, Thomason embraces Black Phillip, signs the devil's book, and joins a coven in the woods. That is how the end of 2016's The Witch goes.
She chooses to live deliciously.
Fuck!
Damn right.
Boom!
Correct choice. Kill that
done
family.
100%. Been spoiled. And the experiences we've gained along the way. Apparently this guy gets recognized a lot now. The William Tukarski guy.
Good for him.
And
for
so him. He started carrying around a plastic machete in his car. So he can use it for selfies.
That's so awesome. What a hero. What a fucking hero. Yeah. Dude gets it. Good for him.
It's also the same feeling I get when I watch a Tim Robinson sketch or like any of his shows where he just brings in like normal ass people or these actors who haven't made it yet. And you're just like, yeah. I love this, man. I love this.
I also it's got funny, very
like, comedy high. And comedy yeah. and horror share like these bones of a good punchline is just kind subverting of. People's expectations and surprising them. And horror is kind of exactly the same thing. It's just surprising your audience in a different way.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting to see.
Yep. I think I was going to say that at some point earlier, but yeah, 100%.
Really and good that's point. How you end up with
the Jordan Peele's of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that is Too Many Cooks. 8.4 on IMDb, 4.0 on Letterboxd, and those are the only two places I could find reviews for it. But pretty high.
Yeah.
Next up, we have unedited footage of a bear from December 16th, 2014. This one's directed by Ben O'Brien and Alan Resnick.
He's got the ear.
Unedited footage of a bear is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bear. Until it's not.
Oh, wait, go ahead. Keep your synopsis going.
Okay, yeah. Presented as what appears to be a pharmaceutical commercial following a brief clip of a bear wandering through the woods, the short quickly descends into a deeply unsettling psychological horror story about addiction, identity, denial, and the lies we tell ourselves. It weaponizes the language of TV advertising in genuinely unnerving ways.
So, you guys pop for This House Has People in It. I will tell you, this one is my favorite of the three. I love everything that this short does. And this one, specifically, I feel is better experienced on YouTube than the TV. Specifically because of the fact that it's set up like the unskippable YouTube ad at first. I can't tell you, I tried to skip it, even though when you're watching it, like, it works so much better on the computer just for that scenario. It integrates so seamlessly, and it subverts you so well because of that.
Yeah. I wonder if that's something they added on after the fact. Like, when it aired on TV, did it have the skip
video? Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't catch this one live. But, hands down, I love everything this one does.
This one's nuts.
Yes.
Yes, that is a nice way of putting it.
Because it goes off the rails so fast. That like you're like, okay, there's an ad that's not an ad, that's funny, and then it just keeps going on this woman until she's, you know, face to face with her duplicate, and you're like, wait a minute,
what the hell is this? Is why,
and
I
at that
this
point
one.
It's fucking crazy
when it's just this long super long straight road of suburbia hell, and they do this super slow long slam cut into where you realize, like, you know that it's her because she has the same outfit, but the slow zoom slam to her face. Dude. I'm Eric Chef's kissing. God, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about that. Ah, so perfectly done.
Well, she also passes the house with the crime scene that gives you the hint of the doubles earlier, too, with, like, the shoes that you see out of the corpse bag, or the body bag, not corpse bag, with the shoes that the crazy guy who's, like, being wrangled in by the police have on. And you're like, well, that's interesting. It's not and just her.
You see her, the same cardigan she's wearing on the ground, and that's what causes her to stop and back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's trying to run to the car, dude.
Yeah. And then when the duplicate runs her over. unhinged.
It's yeah, so listeners, unhinged. I hope you went and found these, because that had to have just sounded like Brian had a stroke, or all of us did, or yeah.
It's the sad part. It's so hard to explain, because again, what I love about them, and why, for me at least specifically, they're so effective, is they're the lean into surreal horror, because surrealism is what really gets me, because it's, again, what makes this one work so well is that suburban hell landscape. And I myself have always identified with their line from Gone in 60 Seconds, where they're like stuck in suburbia hell, where like everything looks the same. It's normal enough, but you feel trapped. It's like a claustrophobia almost, because it's just too routine. And that's also adding another aspect to this whole short itself. God damn, man. And when she's screaming at the kids from coming out from behind the presents. I love this one, man. I love this one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on in this one. It's hard to describe, because it's a lot of just quick flashes, and you for a while there you don't know what you're looking at, if it's a duplicate or if it's the original mom, or she's just screaming on the phone for Donna. And
listeners,
another great bit. I also love how you don't know is it real, because it's also heavily implied that this chick has taken way too much of this medication. Right. She's got open boxes in the back seat and the glove box. She's railing the fucking nose spray. Like, I like that it's got all of this underlying stuff occurring too. It really plays with your mind, which is what makes it so effective, at least for me.
Yeah, listeners, imagine, if you will, a commercial. It's America. Well, at least we're in America. And half the commercials that you see are for some ridiculous pill for something. And a lot of times you'll get two competing pills, right, one right after another on the TV. And they're the same in almost every single regard, in that they're going to treat your male pattern baldness, your infertility, your being a little bitch, whatever, but they all have some ridiculous side effect of, like, you know, it may cause blindness or kidney failure or psychosis or depression or suicidal ideation. I'm like, you're a depression pill, bro. Why are you telling me this depression pill is going to make me kill myself, right?
Right? What is that?
But imagine all of these side effects, and this lady is just going through all of these psycho side effects, and you're seeing it happen in this 11-minute short.
I like how it will periodically continue to throw up those little warnings and the white text at the bottom, too.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was it just keeps showing, like, more of that fine print at the bottom of the screen. And it starts off being stuff you would see in an ad, like side effects and stuff like that. And then it just those get more and more unhinged as you go, too. It's just a really nice touch.
It's a humor. Yeah. That's a lot of the humor in this for me, is like seeing the horror on the screen and then looking down and seeing, like, consult your doctor before you plan to stop using Claritol or whatever.
It's another one of those, too, like, you can tell
Claridrill.
That the person that made this has seen a fuckload of these types of commercials. They've watched a lot of TV similar to Too Many Cooks, where that you know that they love sitcoms. I wouldn't necessarily say that they love they drug love commercials,
prescription but you've drugs. Seen
enough of them that it's a thing that you recognize. And that's, again, you mentioned the subversion of your expectations. Yeah. That's why this one works so well, because it is like a commercial for, it's presented to you as like that for a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And again, like I talk it about nails, that arrow being superimposed on there, that adds such a fucking level to it when you try to so skip good. It and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Ah.
Yeah. It nails the visual language of a pharmaceutical ad.
Yes.
Exactly. So there is, like, you immediately buy in, like, okay, yeah, this is an ad. And then it just continues going and going and going. And you're like, oh, I guess we're in this world of pharmaceutical advertising now. And this is what happens after your 30 seconds are up.
What I really appreciate is that this, so you said it ran like an ad. But I loved the stupid fucking bear documentary thing at the beginning of this.
At the start.
That they cut away from, because it just, like, if you were watching this and it was muted, it would be like, oh, wow, Nat Geo World or something is playing. But you unmute it and it just sounds like you're watching Strange Wilderness with, you know, it comes on at 2 a.m. and nobody's listening. Like, this is one of those nature shows on at 4 a.m, you know, for those people that are drunk or high, where there's just somebody like whispering into the mic, and he's got the ears.
That's a good looking bear. That's a good looking bear.
The ears. Hey man, stop it. Stop it. And it's just like this bickering back and forth. And that's what you cut from to this commercial. It was a really nice touch.
Wild.
I'm actually on the fence about it. I think it feels like Kyle said this seems like something you would come across on YouTube or online, the bear part, but then the ad itself, the Claire Drill ad, feels so much like a TV thing, especially if we're like the 3 or 4 a.m. time slot where you get the extended pill ads where they go on for like minutes, not just 30 seconds. So it's a weird kind of hitting two different things at the same time, but it still works. But it does feel like digital and analog meshed a little bit.
We don't have cable, so we watch a lot of the things that may be on cable live on like a streaming service. And it is like when the TV cuts to commercial, you get your own like HBO Max commercials or whatever. And let me tell you, it is 90% prescription drugs.
A lot of them.
4% Downy.
It's so many.
3%. Yeah, 3% some other fabric softener, and then local ads.
I love the local AI ads. Games. Those are always my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome to the Experience Crime Podcast. The mom and the twin, and the twins. They're played by twins.
Yeah, which it's, is a great touch.
Jacqueline and Carrie Donnelly, which makes it really easy for them to do the scene where the two of them are fighting because they're actually twins.
They cut it in a way that I for sure was like, this is a stunt double.
Yeah.
They could have played with the twins more.
They did it in a way that like makes you think that they weren't. Yeah, it's crazy that they actually had twins and they still cut it in a way that's like, okay, it's just one lady and a stunt double.
That kind of blows my mind.
Wow. All
right.
So that's unedited footage of a bear. Which just ends up being a crazy ad for pharmaceuticals. All right, the last one
also sounds 100% like a fake drug, like a real drug, though.
Yeah,
it's close enough to Claritin, probably, that it's doing a lot of
Claritin
the heavy lifting,
and but. Benadryl.
Oh, Claradryl, I guess it is. Yeah, okay, Claradryl. That's why it works.
I'll say the titles of these videos are a bit misleading for the first two. They may not convey what the video is that's going to come up, but I'll say this third one is pretty spot on.
It's 100% accurate.
I don't know. I feel like Too Many Cooks is pretty accurate to what the video was.
Too
Many Cooks.
Mm-hmm. When it got into outer space
all day,
And when it got into outer space and it became like this whole other thing, I was like, oh, sweet. Maybe like a show will start now. And I will forgive this.
You were still waiting for a show to start. I love that.
Yeah, dog. It is. Dude. 3 minutes in, I paused and I'm like, this surely can't be 8 more minutes of a fucking intro.
It's so good. It's also, it's that thing like I've talked about. It has to work on a level. I'm the type of guy, I think that shit's hilarious to play like a looping thing that drives other people nuts. If you're in on it, it makes it different. And this is sort of like that. Mm-hmm.
It does come back around, though. At a certain point, I was like, all right, this is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But there is a point I'm like, this can't keep going on.
We can't keep doing
this. This is funny. And then, yeah, okay, I hate this.
That's why it starts shifting genres to keep you interested. But it does go through a bit of like, oh, we're still doing this.
Hit
and then
knows it redeems my little itself. Peanut brain.
All right, so the last one. This house has people in it. From 2016, March 15th, 2016. This one is directed by just Alan Resnick, who was one of the directors on the last one.
You can tell.
11 minutes long. Disguised as home security footage, the short follows an ordinary suburban family whose behavior becomes increasingly bizarre and inexplicable over the course of a single day. What seems like random chaos slowly reveals itself to be part of a much larger mystery, especially for viewers willing to dig into the extensive ARG and supplemental material that accompanied its release.
Remember, I can say shit 3 times.
I can say shit 3. I remember that. I heard that as well. No, 2 times twice. Because I just explained it, but
it's great.
So good. It's one of my favorite parts of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. This one, Ryan told us off the bat that this one is kind of a downer compared to the other ones.
Oh, we lost you, Brian. There.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Repeat what you said. Sorry.
Oh no. Oh, okay. Ryan warned us ahead of time that this one is kind of a downer by comparison.
Yeah, and I guess they're all kind of downers in a certain way, but I feel like Too Many Cooks is a bit more whimsical. Yes. Then the Claire Drill one, I feel like there's enough meta stuff going on to kind of take you out of it. This one is just like, wow, what's happening? Oh, oh, oh. And it just ends. And like, you get no resolution. It just ends with strange, bad shit happening, and you feel bad, and you're just like, okay, that was an experience.
Shit, what's
that? But that's kind of the way a lot of found footage stuff ends. Yeah.
If it's done well. If it's done well, it should end kind of this way, where you don't have answers and you don't really fully know what's going on, because that's what the found footage would actually be.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of people fucking confused about something happening. So I think it's like really cool. And the fact that they build a whole universe around this through the security surveillance shit is like crazy. I did a deep dive many years ago. I don't remember it all. I don't. If somebody is more fresh. I would like to ask you.
Well, because I was trying to look some things up. There's 2 times during this that I feel like you can see some weird little monster, but I couldn't find anything about it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well,
it runs by the window after the deer, right? Thing?
It runs by the window, and then you see it in the corner of one of the security cameras, too. But, like, I can't find anything about that.
There is something that runs around. Yeah, I don't remember that fully. I can't help.
Very interesting. I need to research more. Yeah. Because it's definitely there.
So, yeah, the way this starts out is you just have this couple talking in the kitchen. And for several minutes, they're just talking to each other while somebody's laying still on the floor. And you're like, what the hell is going on? They're not even acknowledging this person that's laying on the floor. And you're like, okay, this is fucking weird. And then they start actually talking to the girl laying on the floor, and they find that she's sinking into the floor, and then the whole thing kind of spirals out of control. Also, it's the other little boy's birthday, and the guests are starting to arrive, and they have to stay outside because the daughter is sinking, physically sinking through the kitchen floor.
Let me ask you. Your daughter is sinking into the floor, and there is a possibility that your daughter may go missing or die. Do you not want more witnesses to the crazy batshit thing? It's not like you're in there punching your daughter in the face repeatedly.
Well, would say no if you're going to try to push her back through the floor from the bottom with a 2x4 using her face.
Yeah, I feel like one of
that was a choice.
I feel like one of the party guests would have suggested that, like, to try to help.
That's true. You can put it on somebody else.
Then put the onus on them. Oh, no. Yeah. They had the idea.
The bronus?
Breaking into somebody's house and leaving a hamburger.
You going to put the bronus on them?
Go check out our Patreon on Friday. It's a very interesting one.
Bromerica. That doesn't work. Bromerica doesn't work.
It works.
Oh, Ryan.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun episode.
Good.
Kyle was right.
Kyle.
Hi.
Excellent. Sean.
Hi, Brian.
Perfect. Just want to make sure that we're all still here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's something with the spikes that keeps running in the background, though. We could have set this up as our own security camera. It's great. I love how it's never explained. Who has this footage? Does the family know that they're being filmed? Is it?
They set up the security system, but it's like the Ring cameras and how the police use it now. And you're seeing presumably somebody from like the police watching footage of this one family in this one incident.
But it's Flock.
There's multiple times that the cameras are controlled and change viewpoints. Like in the basement, it pans up so we see the daughter's face. So somebody is in control of these cameras.
I still think it's whoever, it's the company. It's somebody in the company. They just have control of the camera.
So yeah, there is a website for the surveillance company.
So they have this footage because this might be like a flashpoint. Because at the end, we see everybody that is at the party is also infected with this disease, and they're like. They're going to have a much worse time. Will they go all the way through the world? Because the girl goes through the floor.
Yes.
But these people are outside. It's a wild thing to think about.
I hate to break it to them, but there is a point. There is a point in the world, and listeners, if you don't know this, go back to school, where it probably would not be very pleasant to...
The upside down world from King Kong.
Dinosaurs.
Yep. Yeah.
Lizardmen.
Tar pits.
No, 100%. I think that is the ultimate destination for all these people with the sickness is the magma core. They're all slowly going to die. And that's kind of like the horror of this. And that's why I think for some reason this one like sits with me a little longer because it's
Again, I love that it doesn't give answers because is the daughter safe once she pops through?
I don't think so.
Is she done?
No.
You think she continues?
She's just going to keep going.
I think she keeps going through the mattress.
Then she goes through the next layer.
Okay. So once you catch it, you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's what it seems
just
like.
Start sinking. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. The surveillance company has a website and you can log in and there are hours of more footage. Like there's so much. You can see this whole thing from every camera angle. And there's additional images, emails, text logs from the family, and it goes really deep. And I guess at some point you see like most of the family members eating clay.
Yes.
Which is
bizarre. I remember that.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why?
So there's also like this kind of one of the theories is if you're not infected, you're a carrier and there's like symptoms that you have. And like one of them is like this deficiency, mineral deficiency. And that's why they're eating this clay or some shit. But this is one of the ones that goes deep. This is like when we were talking about Cloverfield, like there were theories and forums and so many threads about this.
Yeah. This one, I ran out of time while I was researching it because there was just too much about it. Unlike the unedited footage of Bear, where there's like nothing about it. It doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, but like this one has a whole Reddit thread and like it goes
this video is like one of the best from Nightmind. I'll also tell you the short is 11 minutes. This guy's video explaining it, hour and a half.
Of course,
that was one of the things I saw with the suggested videos that came on after I watched it. It was like explaining this house has people in it. And I'm like, it's an hour and a half long for an 11 minute video.
Yeah.
Really good video, though.
I didn't know yet.
You didn't know. Yeah. But it uses that time and it uses it well. It's, this one it also has like a little nod to a previous Adult Swim infomercial. So I think one of the like the second infomercial they did was something called Fart Copter. And at certain point, the brother is watching that infomercial on the TV with the grandma. And I don't know. I think maybe the writer probably had a part in Fart Copter way back when.
Can we talk about how the grandma just lets the baby leave the house? Like, completely unrelated to what everything
they
else
give
going
her the
on.
Baby because she's stressed and she doesn't even want it. She just, like, puts it down. Hashtag relatable.
Yeah.
Get this baby away from outside. Me.
Let the kid escape.
The baby just crawls out and, like, yeah, we don't know what the fuck happens to it. It just never shows up again after it crawls off the out of the property line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wild. There's a lot of layers in this one, but it is it's definitely the most disturbing watch.
It's the one that I enjoyed the most.
Okay.
I really dig that kind of thing where like you have no idea what's happening. I thought that the security footage, and it makes sense now that you say it, that like someone was controlling it, because I didn't even put that together that yeah, someone was clearly like moving that camera for that footage instead of it just being like a paranormal activity where it's fucking bootstrapped to a oscillating fan or something. like I dig that. I love that view anyways. I love the found footage stuff like that, but there was something about it that like, I don't know, with us talking about people just being sucked through to the center of the earth, I'm just like, that's cool. Like, I don't find it harrowing or anything like that, which maybe that's fucked up, but
I mean, it's also weird to cool look concept. At post COVID. Cause I mean, it is a disease that's obviously spread and it affects you a little bit differently now, maybe cause it seems inevitable that you catch it too. Like everybody at that party gets it and none of them even came inside. Whereas,
right. Oh, also, the boy is a carrier, isn't he? He's the one that had exposure to them.
Mm.
I don't know what the deal is. He does go from inside to outside. Is he also one of the ones that eats the clay? I think at one point he's standing at the window eating clay.
I think he eats some of the clay, and he like stands by the door for a long time.
Yeah.
Before stuff starts happening. And then he starts like dumping stuff behind his bed in the bedroom. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of weird stuff going on with the kid.
Yeah.
I love the dad like, he's like, you can't let them in the house. You got to keep them outside. his delivery of that's great. I love the kid is just like a robot.
Yeah, I love that this kid's like biggest sin is that he's a fucking like 9-year-old boy. Everybody in the house is some hillbilly piece of shit like family abuser. Like those parents are dog shit people, and he's sitting there dressed up like it's his first fucking communion for his birthday. What a nerd. Of course he's a carrier.
What a nerd.
I love anyways. Grandma on this though.
Sorry we ruined your birthday.
It is cool. Like I like how at first we're not addressing the girl on the floor, and then they give a logical reason why. Oh, it's a teenager acting out. And then they subvert that. We've talked about a lot of these are a variation of the hat on the hat on the hat. Like it just it takes things and it stays in that, but it keeps adding to it and twisting it. And I love how that's a completely normal thing. Oh, the teenager is planking was a fucking thing that people did. When was planking popular? Was it around 2016?
Like getting down on your corpsing?
Around that time, I think.
So, like it's within reason that a teenager would do this. And then I love again, the acting is very well done here because they do have like this panic when like the daughter's not responding to them, and like just their sheer confusion on what the fuck is happening is all very believable, and it brings you into it. And again, found footage always does. I love. Even bad found footage, I like because my brain just naturally flows into this is real, just based on the fact that it looks like found footage. So it's easier for the brain, at least my brain, to buy into it. And so again, on that level, like this one affects me more than the others. Definitely like on that level, like when the parents start flipping out, it's almost like, Toni Collette in Hereditary. Like it's weird. It's panic inducing almost. Good stuff. Yeah, yeah. All these are fucking great art pieces.
Until the dad starts overdoing it, and you're like, all right, this guy is acting.
But I love his sweaty performance in the basement. I don't know. It worked for me.
Yeah.
He gets real sweaty.
I don't know why I thought after watching the first two that like I was just on the edge of my seat being like, oh man, how are they gonna solve this situation? As if I was expecting some sort of resolution out of anything that I watched. Like, this was the third thing, and I'm the dumbass at that point.
Fool me once, shame on me.
Fool me once.
Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me three times. All right, it's back on me, I guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of dumb now. My bad.
I guess this was originally shot as a pilot for a potential series, and then that did not get greenlit, so they repurposed it as a short film.
Greenlight it, you cowards.
I am struggling to see how this is a full-length TV show. Maybe a movie, I'm kind of with Ryan there.
I think it works this way. Yeah, I don't know. Definitely in a less is more style.
Yeah, I feel like the more you explain, the worse it gets.
I feel like you could do this in a pluribus.
They could have made this like a 1 hour or like a half hour to 40 minute TV episode. And then the rest of the show would be other locations and maybe just unraveling the larger mystery.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting idea too. Okay.
Most gave me, all of them kind of give me like the SPC Foundation vibes of just but this one, especially because it's like sort of in, like an agency documenting it, definitely leaned into that. I kind of had vibes of that with Too Many Cooks too, when I had my interpretation that he was like an otherworldly being.
I agree. Like he would have been a file.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, and that's why we have this, like he corrupted a regular TV show's credits by interacting with it. And that's why it is so fucking weird and people don't understand it. It's almost like the kid in Twilight Zone who makes his own, he sends the people to the cornfield type thing.
The Joe Dante short. The best one.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Too many cooks.
Too many cooks. Jesus, sorry, listeners. I do love these, but I am curious now that we have them all, where you guys would rate them. I think I would go probably 2-1-3 for me.
Okay.
So bear, cooks, people.
I am complete inverse of you. I am house has people, too many cooks, unedited footage of a bear.
I am a carbon copy of Ryan.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
I'm different from all of you. I am 1-3-2.
Okay.
All right.
That does not surprise me. Too Many Cooks feels the lightest of all of these, and it's not like the most like horror fucked up kind of shit. Yeah.
That's fair. Too Many Cooks is whimsical enough to be accessible to most people, despite how it unravels.
Yeah.
It keeps its horror at bay for long enough too that it soothes you into almost like a false sense of security. Yeah. You do feel something's off just in the fact that it's going on so long, but and you're not scared yet.
It's one of those, like, it never felt like a horror to me. Like, as I was looking up all of these, I was honestly surprised that they're all kind of categorized as horror comedy, because the only one that I felt was actual, like, I don't know, this is kind of horrific, was the third one. And out of all of them, whereas the other ones just felt like, I don't know, it's too much parody to be defamement, you know? And I don't know.
I think
it's interesting.
Too Many Cooks for me is leaning so hard into the bit of it being continuing on for so long that the horror element just feels like another thing they have to do to keep the bit going.
Yeah. Yeah.
That not so much that it also continues going to become a horror thing, that the horror is there to serve the bit of the length.
It is also a horror in of itself that, like, this universe would not be great to exist in. Like, a sitcom universe on the surface is great, but that going on would get to be its own personal hell, which I think is another great commentary, like, being stuck.
Have you guys watched Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself?
Yes.
Kevin Can Go Himself?
Yes.
That show is nuts because it does the same thing where it has like the sitcom visual language and then it'll cut to like a drama. So it'll go from like your three camera comedy to a single camera drama with different lighting. And so like whenever Kevin's on screen, it's set up as a sitcom. And when Kevin leaves, it switches back to the drama.
This is of, interesting.
Like, how his wife is living, and it's just, it was very well done.
Yep. It's starring the younger actress from Schitt's Creek, who's great. I can't think of her name, but it's fantastic. Very, very meta. Very meta.
I love meta.
I think there were only two seasons.
And Kyle, you would like it specifically because it really like plays with sitcom tropes and like leans.
I'm going to watch it like a lot. Now I will watch it.
You would dig it.
Fucking great show.
Thank you guys. Dig it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I like the chick from Schitt's Creek. She's funny and she's cutie. Mm-hmm. Real cutie pie.
She's a great actress. Alexis.
She's a great actress. Is it Annie something?
Yeah, it is.
It's, I'm on the page, Annie Murphy.
That's it.
Yes, Annie that's Murphy. Her name.
Or as Kyle knows her, Homegirl.
That's it.
Homegirl.
I like... In fairness, Schitt's I like Creek Homeboy from Schitt's Creek, too. He's a cutie as well. And he's also...
Homeboy's great.
Levy's son?
Dan right? Levy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a cutie.
He's
a,
yeah, he, he's one of them Homeboy is Homeboy's son.
He's my
A rare one that human. You don't get so mad at because, yeah, no. Okay, he can't actually do it.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
The opposite of Cara Delevingne.
He doesn't even have the brows.
She doesn't
I
have the
think
brows.
That's
And she
some
doesn't have
work.
The talent.
That's what's happening there.
Take some maintenance.
Uh-huh. He's getting the old Kelly Clarkson.
Oh yeah.
All right. I already told you what the IMDb and Letterboxd was for Too Many Cooks, but for unedited footage of a bear, IMDb is a 7.6, Letterboxd is a 3.7. For This House Has People in It, IMDb is a 7.5 and Letterboxd is a 3.8. So all three of them have pretty high reviews.
Okay.
But Too Many Cooks is the highest.
I think they also were all fairly low budget. I don't know if there is any budget information on them.
Yeah, I couldn't find any budget information, but I would assume they're all
The guy, I know that the guy that did Too Many Cooks, like I said, he started on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And then I'm pretty sure he also had, he developed Squidbillies as well.
Yes.
He was, yeah. Squidbillies. He actually pitched the idea to one of the other writers in Squidbillies, and they were like, let's bring it to Adult Swim.
Well, not it like, wasn't yeah, we'll that what the what when I read it, because I didn't know this either. It was an executive at Adult Swim because they had the Hanna-Barbera thing. There was a show called Squiddly Diddly, and it made him think of the word Squidbilly. So he had that word and he gave it to him and said, make a show around this word. And they developed Squidbillies. I think somebody else started it, and then he got that, and they changed it. But it started from that.
It's like getting the rights to Mighty Mouse and being like, oh, this is kind of like Mimey House. So let's, there you go, do that.
Yeah. And then they make this weird Adult Swim show out of it. But
that's
yeah,
crazy.
That's what it started from. Yeah.
Dude, also, creatives. They earn every dollar, right?
Squidbillies has my favorite intro song of all time, and they don't even use it for the whole show, but I sing it all the time because it's the most nihilistic fucking song in the world. Because it just goes, my kids are all dead and buried. Sometimes I wish the sun would just explode. When God comes to call me to his kingdom, I'll take all you sons of bitches when I go. It's so fucking bleak, and that's the intro song to the show. I love it, dude.
It's very bleak.
Yeah.
Super bleak. It's like the blue star from Super Mario Brothers movie.
Beep, 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 beep.
I love that little guy in his cage talking about the end is nigh.
That is actually probably the best bit.
That's Homegirl's sprite, right? Rosalina?
Yeah, Brie Larson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't connect that. I didn't realize that Homegirl was playing Homegirl.
Homegirl's playing Homegirl. Now you, if you don't know, now you know.
Homegirl was playing Homegirl in that movie. Oh, that! Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Hey.
Oh, are you guys... Kyle, are you just... Is your A thing just Gilbert Gottfried? Did I put that together?
I don't think so.
It's not a Gilbert Gottfried.
No, because a Gilbert Gottfried is a little bit farther back in the
throat. That was the fucking same.
Wow. That's great.
Hey. I forget where it's from. I used to do it to my sister all the time. It was just this dumb thing. I don't know if it is even really from something or just like a dumb... I don't know.
All right, well, do you guys want to rank these or...
I thought we did rank them.
Well, I guess, that makes sense.
Done been ranked.
Ranked and scored. And I think
next week is Ryan?
Yeah, next week is Ryan. So, Ryan, continuing with the theme of these are all quite, not quite movies, we're not going to do a movie next week. We're going to do something different, but I'm going to give you the choice. So, I've got something that kind of fits the theme of these disturbing, kind of weird shorts. Altogether, this would be 25 minutes or less. That's choice A. Choice B is not quite a stand-up, not quite a movie, but something in between. That's about 2 hours. So that's about, it's a full-length one. Fuck. And then the other one is a documentary that I'm sure none of you have seen. That is incredible, and you keep you guessing from start to finish about what the fuck is even happening.
Oh, man.
Also full-length. The first one, maybe YouTube Shorts, a series on YouTube, very similar in vibes to this. Altogether, about 25 minutes in total.
That's my choice. Okay. Because I also might do YouTube stuff.
Okay, so that's one for option A.
That's my vibe.
YouTube Shorts.
I'm personally interested in
two or three as well. But
oh, okay.
I vote one. Not just for the time, more. I like the idea of the YouTube stuff because that's real creative stuff, and I'm curious to see what you have.
Okay.
So even if it doesn't win, I'm probably going to ask and probably watch it.
All right, Brian. I heard it sounded like number one or sorry, two for you, right?
Two. Yeah. Okay. I'm always down for something stand up adjacent.
So option A and option two
for three,
and then Sean. Yeah,
no, like man. Here's the thing, is that, like, I literally want all of these, and Ryan does this all the fucking time.
Right.
All the fucking time.
There's three fucking great options that we can't choose.
Yeah, and I want to watch them all, and then you know what happens? We pick one, and then we never hear about the other two
disappear forever
again.
Yep.
And it's so... This is so annoying because I don't want to choose because I feel like I'm putting a bullet in the back of the head of the other two because I won't even know their names. Yeah. I love the idea of something short, but also with this, I was like, oh yeah, nice. But man, I love stand up adjacent as well. Like Brian said, then I'm also a sucker for a documentary where you have me guessing. I want to be on the edge of my seat. So you know what? I'm going to go three because...
Oh. And then Ryan has to pick.
Yeah.
I love it. Put the onus back on him.
Shit. We're right back to where we started.
Ryan's going to pick shit. Ryan's going to make a roulette wheel and roulette this son of a bitch.
Do it, Ryan.
Okay. Roulette. Yeah. I'm your host this week, Brian.
Hi.
I think.
Excellent.
Hi, Brian.
Sorry. I've done this intro so many times I wasn't sure. Anyway.
All right, and spin.
The show about getting older. Getting older.
Getting older.
Getting older.
It looks like Sean's last minute choice of C is the winner. So we're going with the mystery documentary. I hope you guys haven't seen it. It's 2012's The Imposter.
The Imposter.
If you have not heard of it or seen anything, do not just go into it.
I'm going blind.
Go for a wild ride, because this is some crazy shit.
All right.
Documentary done excellently. And like I said, it's going to keep you guessing. And you're just going to be like, wow, people. Am I right? People are fucking crazy.
People. People be peopling.
All right. Okay. If you wanted to know, Kyle, the YouTube short series I was going to recommend was the Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared
series. Oh, hell fuck, yeah. We screwed up so fucking much. Those. God damn it.
God, I love those so much.
I have seen it, but god damn it. God damn it.
And then if you want to know, I'm kind of glad it didn't go with Choice 2, because I feel like Choice 2, maybe everybody's seen, it was going to be Bo Burnham's Inside.
Inside.
Oh.
That's what I thought it was.
That would have been fantastic. But had you done that, I would have pivoted and we would have watched Eighth Grade because it's Bo Burnham. So
that'd have been fun.
Well done.
I wouldn't have hated that.
Well done.
I'm super hyped to watch this. I might actually break my own thing.
Let me just see where it's streaming. So that's all I know.
That's it. You can watch it on Tubi for free.
Tubi for free. Cool. I don't even need to look it up. I can just look for it on Tubi.
I might break my thing of
I should write down the
not
name of it,
watching
so
something.
It's also on Amazon for free. It's on Prime.
There you go. So they probably have a better resolution too. So probably Amazon.
So it's on Prime.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a good fucking good bit, Brian. Way to bring this one up, man. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought of this.
It'd be
probably
fun to do something a little different, a little weird.
I love it. I love it. It was a great, great, great idea, man. Yeah. I loved it.
What if
I loved revisiting
normal
these two.
Continued for just a little too long.
Yeah.
Hello, friends.
Oh my god. That bit was. You know what this
what
was?
Bit?
This.
What are you talking about?
Bit?
I feel like this is what. In my head, I was like, man, this is what I wish Cat Soup was.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get
like,
that.
It was about the exact same runtime.
It didn't go so much in the horror. I agree with you. I wish it kind of would have leaned in more. It was just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, I don't know. I kept mentally making that comparison. And, I'm not upset at it, because like I knew that watching Cat Soup, like I should like that, and I couldn't quite figure out why I didn't, unless I did and I expressed it, in which case I don't know, I don't listen to myself.
I think you guys were all relatively lukewarm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You didn't hate it, but it didn't pop you.
Yeah.
And you were more than average on it, but just like
I hated it.
That's that's how I remember it.
Yeah, I remember you did not like it. Yeah.
It was 30 minutes
it's
too
lukewarm
long.
And Sean hated it. That's, yep.
Fuck, man.
Now, before we get started, has anyone noticed anything off? No?
Hi, Brian.
Okay. Never mind.
Perfect. Yeah, though Britney Spears in the background is now Christina Aguilera for some reason. What's up with that?
You weren't supposed to mention it.
It got dirty.
Oh no, what have you done? What have you done?
Dad lets me out of the bottle.
She comes to life and bites me in the neck. Just takes a giant chunk out.
Aguilar.
The experiences we've gained along the way.
What is it?
Jumping back to something that you had said earlier, Kyle. I 100% was watching it on my giant ass TV, this series of things. And the YouTube commercial bit popped up. And I was like, huh, that's strange. I've never seen a commercial on YouTube on my TV. So I grabbed my controller and I try to do it. And then I go, I'm a fucking idiot. I have YouTube Premium. I don't get commercials anyways.
There's been like the rarest times when like I'm not logged in or something and I'm just watching. And it's like the fucking ads come up and I'm like, oh, and then the skip comes up and I'm still like, it's such a natural thing. It plays so well on your head.
know how I even knew that I was logged in? Because in order to watch it on the TV, I open Discord on my phone. I click on the link so it opens in YouTube on my phone, and I just go to my history on the TV.
Yes. Oh, that that works too, yeah.
So I don't have to like type it in on the control, the remote. But yeah, I was like, I'm an idiot. If you listeners want to listen to how dumb we are sometimes and be my bro, like you can be my bro by going to experiencegrind.com, clicking on the Patreon link and going and donating a couple brolerinos.
Bronate.
Dollary dues.
You gotta bronate.
Fuck!
Bronate to the cause.
Yeah, felt like that was really slammed home. I hope Kyle heard all of that while he was outside of the room. I bet that was all great. He'd be proud. We went on a deep dive on bro words for some reason. So if you're curious at all for some ungodly reason, head on over there, toss in a couple of bucks, listen to bonus episodes, which you will get to listen to every week. Extra half an hour from us every week. Yeah, or find the Discord link also on the same page. But Brian, yeah. I'm going to send it back to you. I'm done with my...
Your spiel?
That is way too close to splooge to say.
Bro, sure.
That's the PG version of that, right?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
We talked about friends, it on Patreon. And welcome to the Experience Grind Experience Grind Podcast. Yeah, until next week, you guys can all go cook yourself.
Too many cooks.
Music, movies, games, pop culture, TV, music, pop culture, games.
I'm a brower, not a shower.
Oh! Ah!